and welcome to another episode of Out of Character. As with me as always, as with me, I'm so tired, is Cotton. And I'm happy you're doing the heavy lifting tonight because apparently I don't speak.
Yeah. You got that, like, that thing that people who are like English as second language learners is like, as with me for tonight for event show.
Well, so as everybody knows, Out of Character, we put out episodes February through the end of the year through December. And we always take January off. And this year was no different. I took January off. Cotton had other plans.
Yeah.
What did you decide to do for the entire month of January, which, lets everybody know here, made you unavailable to record any vampire? That's the commitment here.
I was trying to be available. Yeah, so, okay. Well, okay, you know that sound that TV shows always make when they have the flashback? Like, it's like the visual. One of those. If we could have one of those, editor. So, it's 2023. At what point? We've forgotten already. But it's 2023, and we went to go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show play here in Natchez, Mississippi. Right? Rocky Horror. It's going to be great. I was concerned it was going to be weak. This is Mississippi, right? Bamp said it was going to be weak. He was wrong. They fucking brought it.
Okay.
And I had a great time. I came on, you know, at the end, they invited everybody to do the time warp. I went on stage. I'm doing the time warp in like those big fucking boots. Great. We're having a good old time. And Leo said he would imagine mass protest. Yeah, only because no one knows about it. It is in an old church, which does make me happy. But we have a little community, thriving community theater. So anyway, we go to the lobby after the show. I had a great time, and I've thought about it. I'm a ham, you know how it is. And they said our next play is going to be Clue, and I was like, holy shit, I love Clue. The year before last. For the for where I work, we had a Halloween contest, the first one ever, and I had a bunch of people to dress up as Clue. I was Professor Plum in that, right? So I'm like, I'm down for Clue. All right, cool. So I'm thinking about it. My wife Rob was like, "Yeah, you should do it. You should do it." Well, we go to the brewery a couple days later, and there's one of the people from my original D&D game, and this guy he's a paladin, honestly. He's all right. I like him, but he's not the best player. But no offense to the guy. He's a good guy. He's there, and he knows my wife, and that guy's wife is there. And they come up, and we're like, hey, how you doing? Doing the pleasantries, right? Doing the southern thing of saying hello. Robin mentions it. Now, this guy's wife is in plays. Like, she does the stuff. They're like, hey, you should do it, dude. Yeah, you got to do it. You got to do it. I'm like, you know, the casting is soon. I'm like, all right, that's enough to push me. So I'm going to audition for a play. That's how this came about, right? Some alcohol, some Rocky Horror Picture Show.
A burning desire.
So there you go. We're going to be, yes, the yes. Center of attention. They don't pay you for it, but it's the next best thing. Also explain this podcast, right? And all actions therein. Yeah, you know, not a hard psychological nut to crack. Anyway, the point. So we're going to do it. We're going to do the play. And I am thinking that this is going to be like a minor deal. Like, they have actors who are in some stuff, and I mean, I don't know them, but, like, you know, these are people who have some acting chops, presumably. They do stuff. They know things. I don't know shit. Mm-hmm. Okay? To quote, you know, that show, they're always the Ozarks. I don't know shit about that.
You don't have to convince me. I'm on the same page.
Yeah. Yeah, we... I see you woke up. Okay. And, so another day, I'm supposed to go after work, and I know that morning to go over there, but I forget because, you know, time elapses, and I'm switching into some gym clothes. I get the text like, hey, it's happening. I'm like, oh, fuck. Have to change clothes, drive across town. You've been to the theater. It's out there. It is in the boonies kind of this town. It's not like in the heart of the city where it, like, logic would dictate it should be. Okay.
Between 5 and 10 minutes away. Okay.
So there you go. It's in a weird spot. It's like an old community church. It's not far from town, but it's not near shit. You know, like, it's not within walking distance of a commercial entity. So I just race over there, go in the door, and then there's like a circle of people. And they all have their little red book of like the play, and they're reading. And I see like the people running the shit behind a small table, and everybody looks at me because I've been the last guy in the class before. I know this look. You know, it's like look at fucktard over here. Look at. And I go in and I don't have a book and everybody has books and they're reading. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, hi, can I get a book? And they say, okay, we're reading between pages like 36 and 41. In a few minutes, you'll come up and you will recite the part we give you. So they're already reading. Like, time is elapsing. Okay, I'm late to the exam and I'm sweating it. And I've now realized how this works, kind of. I didn't know. I thought you would like say, hey, I want to play this. I mean, I had no idea. Did you have any idea how any auditions of this works? Or like, usually, how you audition or what you thought?
Usually you either have a prepared monologue to do, or they give you the script and they say, do the scene, and they have another person with you, and they decide what they want to put you in. It is not your choice. You are not a casting director. You are merely a thespian.
Well, yeah, I thought you auditioned for a role, though. Like, in general, you would be like, I'm here for the role of X.
But it's up to them. Like, they may say, yeah, you don't usually have... Like, you're not going to hit that part, but we think you're good for this one. And that's how it works, yeah.
I was just there to be a tree, okay? Like, I'll be a tree. It's community theater. I want to get on stage, ham it up a bit. Again, don't know shit about anything, but I'm not going to choke. I can be expressive. You know, I'll put myself out there. Let's have a good time. So I'm sitting there, and I kind of want to be Professor Plum. I like that lascivious professor vibe. So cool beans. So I'm sitting there reading the shit, and the way it works is they pick. There's about 17, 18 people there. They would pick like five or six of us, and they would say, "Okay, you're gonna be Wadsworth. You're gonna be Professor Plum. You're gonna be Yvette, and these are your now go." So you get to read from the book, you know, but you're trying to get a vibe of the play. Now, I read fast. That helps. Okay, I'm a fast reader, and I know the play. I know the movie, so I know kind of what these characters are about, so I get the lines. I get the wordplay. I kind of get that, but I'm just very, very nervous.
First time, you had no idea. Yay. You were late. I mean, I can see it.
Yeah, I'm late.
I can see why you would be a little discombobulated.
And there's like 18 people there, again, and there's only like 7-ish roles that are like, on stage and a few more. I'm like, I might get backup cop, but again, probably won't get anything.
Majority of those people,
because there's twice as many people here.
Majority of those people will not get a part.
Yeah, and half of the people who do technically get in the play, they will be like backup cop number two, which is fine. I am thrilled to be backup cop number two. So I go up there and I read as Professor Plum very early, and I can feel the nervousness happening in my voice. So then we go, we sit down, and I read as every male part. Okay, but I noticed when I did Colonel Mustard, they looked at each other. There was the director and her assistant director, and they both looked at each other, and they both like nodded like that. That I think this was good. I'm like, oh shit, they like my shit. You know, I'm like, cool beans. I have the script here, and there's a description in the cast of characters. I had not read this at the time. I was reading page 36 through 41. Colonel Mustard. A puffy, pompous, dense, blowhard of a military man. That is the description of this character. So he's the dense guy. He's the butt of the joke. And they looked at me and thought, that's the guy. Now, I like to think it's because I'm also taller than most of the people in this show, right? These are theater people.
You can think whatever
like,
you want.
I'm a lot of like 6'1" dudes, you know, in their mid-30s, late 30s, who, you know... And I had like, you know, I have short hair that'll come into, I promise that's a small foreshadowing. So, some time goes by and holy shit, they text me the cast list. Like, hey, if you got this, you're in the play. And I am Colonel fucking Mustard. Some time goes by. Nothing's like happening. Christmas is happening. This is Christmas time. And I'm like, okay, cool. But like, I'm told this play is supposed to be in like early February. Holy shit. And we're in like the first week of January and I'm freaking out. I got a bunch of fucking lines and I'm trying to learn them. And I'm really worried because I haven't done that before. Anyway, we start doing the rehearsal thing comes out and it is 4 to 5 nights a week. And I'm like, oh God, I thought I might not be able to do some of the podcast, but holy shit, this is every Wednesday. First of all, that's happening. So I kind of have to like make myself scarce and I felt like a dick, but I really wanted to do the play. So So we're doing rehearsals, we're doing auditions. Now here's what, or not all day, we're doing rehearsals. Before we did our first rehearsal, we had our first table read, okay? First table read. I'm going to meet all the other people who made it into the play, and we're going to read the play once through. There you go. Cool. Now I sit there, and I've got my book. It's in pristine condition. I am afraid to ask if I'm allowed to highlight it, like highlight my lines, because I don't know if I have to give this book back, and I don't want to look stupid in the group text, so I don't highlight my lines. I show up, everyone's got their shit highlighted. Oh, fuck. So I borrow someone's highlighter as I furiously am trying to highlight my lines so I don't miss them. That mostly worked. Then this guy named Bo, he comes out and he goes, hey, y'all, I just want to have a little thing, some changes here at the theater, one. And I'm thinking, like, what, like new plays, different number? He goes, we're going to run some more plays this year. Also, no alcohol is allowed in this building unless it's a prop. I'm like, ruh-roh. Did something happen? And then another guy named Devin, who was, like, on the board, he was playing, like, Mr. Body in some minor role. Same thing. Like, show up for rehearsals. Don't be here high. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like this new kid in class. I got my book. I got my pencil. I'm all, like, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed student ready for class, trying not to look like a fucking idiot in front of all these people who know shit. But yes, you can highlight your book. And then our director, who is not there but calls in on the speakerphone, gives us the third version of the riot act. Don't show up drunk. Don't be high. Show up. There's going to be sign-in sheets. But yeah, I'm like, man, I guess some people, you know, community theater, there's some people who are fucked up in there. Apparently actors can be flighty. I don't know what to tell you. Who saw it coming?
Color me surprised.
Right? Bunch of unpaid actors having a bunch of fucking weird-ass drama. Uh-huh. Yes. But that's fine. That's fine. That's cool. I'm just here to get on base. I'm just here to get in the play, y'all. I'm here to have to be Colonel Mustard. So we do the table read, and we get a text about a week later, or not even a week, saying our director's dropped out. Uh-oh. That's not great. Our assistant director's taking over, and that guy, Devin, who's on the board, he's going to be the assistant director. Great. We're doing some rehearsals. Okay, cool. I'm learning my lines. We're getting there, y'all. Then we get our Mrs. White dropped out. She was an old lady. She was great for the role.
She was an older lady.
She drops. Oh, she was an older lady. She was old. And if she had stayed in the play, it would have been nice, but she dropped us.
Well,
so she dropped.
For the no booze and
before
drugs
she dropped.
Thing. I mean,
yeah, probably. She wanted to go back to the 60s, man. No booze, no drugs. Fuck, I'll see you losers later. I'm going to go watch Easy Rider and get hammered.
Eat Lil Green.
So now, before she dropped, the person who played the cook dropped. You know, the cook who gets murdered? That actress dropped. That actress was the wife of the guy I knew. She auditioned for the play. She got in. She was the cook, and she quit. So the lady who played the cook, the one person I knew, quit the show. This caused we had a female actress. She was, I guess that's how actresses are generally. She was like backup cop number two. She becomes the cook. Mrs. White dropped. She goes from cook to Mrs. White. So this person was barely in the fucking play, and she is now central cast. All right. So we've had an actress drop, and our director drop. We're rehearsing. Same day, Professor Plum and Mr. Green both drop. They're replaced by the two people I mentioned before who were on the board, who gave us the riot act. So one guy is the assistant director and Mr. Green. And then there's a guy who plays Mr. Plum. He's on the. So now they're up there. All right. And as you will know, Mr. Plum was a heavier gentleman. And his mobility was limited. And so this is the problem because the play has lots of moving around. So we have to like strategically have places for him to sit. Right. And occasionally if his knees are shot, somebody has to like help him out of the chair in certain scenes. Right. But that's fine. We're going to get there. They tell us if anyone else drops, we may have to cancel the play. Because again, we've had like half the cast drop in the fucking directory. It's not great. Like this is not a good start.
Yeah. A lot of drama.
At no point are our lines 100%, right? Our lines are not getting me 100%. I'm actually off book or damn near off book pretty quickly. I'm like the second person because I'm trying really hard. And they're saying stuff to me like, watch that back. Apparently you're not supposed to turn your back on the audience. Fun acting fact. Don't turn your back to the audience and project your voice toward the fucking drapes in the back. That's like not good. So pro tip on that one. We're doing the stuff though. We're getting better. But man, some of the two people who came in late, God bless them, they were not learning their lines at a speed that I would have liked. I'm like, learn your shit. And also, they're my cues. Like, I know my line in the play, and I know the line before my line. But if you fuck up your line, it throws me off, right? And it throws the play off. Like, it'll fuck you up. I am pissy about this. They get almost there, but they're never 100% there. And it's like, I'm a little frustrated by this, but they're nice to me, and they are, you know, they came in late and they have a lot of shit going on. Fair enough. Especially the guy who's doing double duty as assistant director. What would get in my ass chapped later on in a reverse chapping, Jupiter, is when we went live on stage, they ad-libbed, they came alive. They still missed the occasional line, but it didn't matter. Everything they did or ad-libbed or said was a fucking winner. Like, these people just got it. Like, it's, I'd like to think, and they inspired me to ham it up more and to bring more in my own performance. It's cool to watch somebody go out there and just have it, whether it be natural or learned, I don't know, but they fucking had it. So there you go. Okay, so we're getting all of our shit together. We're getting the play, you know, helping out with sets. A lot of my shit was in the play. I supplied the wrench, the coat for one of the cops, the peacock feathers from Miss Peacock's hat. One last bit of drama. Forgot that for before the play starts. The woman who plays Miss Peacock happens to be a local country radio DJ. Our biggest radio station is 95 Country. Okay, that is our big station. She's the DJ. And she was saying something about it. I'm like, whoa, you're the DJ with the hot takes about country music? She's like, yeah, that's me. I'm Olivia. Probably shouldn't say her name on the podcast. But I'm like, I disagree with you on so much shit. It's you. And we had a laugh and talked about country music for a second. You know, she had moved down to Natchez to be a DJ. That's what got her here. She's not from here at all. Has no ties here beyond that. Two kids, moved her ass down here to follow her dreams being a DJ, right? Cool beans. Well, one day, I hear a phone ringing from the speaker at my work. I'm at work and I hear like a phone ring, like, it's the radio. She had accidentally left the radio broadcasting on while she called her mother to then bitch about her boss, the lady who owned the radio station. So you ever like talk shit about your boss? Fine. We all have, right? We've all talked shit about our bosses. That's a fine thing to do. She talked about her boss to about 50 different counties and parishes in Mississippi and Louisiana over a 100,000 watt FM radio tower. And I'm hearing it. And I'm like, holy shit. I don't have her number, but she's in the group text, right? So I go to the group text. And on Android, you can't click a speech bubble and like call that number. And I didn't save her as a contact. So I'm having to like go back to group text one where we're all introducing ourselves. Like, hey, I'm Mustard. And hey, I'm Peacock. And whatever. I have to like type her number on my computer to then go to my phone. I called her twice on my office line from my work just to speed it up. You hear her say, Mom, someone's trying to call me. I guess she thinks I'm a fucking spammer. So she doesn't answer the phone. I text her from my cell. Never texted before. You are live on the radio right now. This conversation on the phone. And then she's like, I said, and I put parentheses, if this is you, and I put her first name. She texts back, OMG, who is this? I'm like, it's John / Mustard. So, long story short, they would fire her for that. She lost her job. And so she has to, like, move to Georgia. She's there. I think she just sold her house. But she stuck with the play long enough to finish it out. Thank God. So now we get to the play. We're getting to the play, everybody. Holla fucking Luga. So, oh, man. This is also when I brought Jupiter down doing rehearsals. And I'm there. We got Jupiter there. And I was like, hey, is it cool if we can skip
that story.
We can skip all. We can skip that story. So when Cotton shares all his personal shit and insecurities, that's fine. When Jupiter's good, man, may the power of hypocrisy compel you. Anyway, moving along.
I just haven't edited it out.
No, I'm not gonna tell it.
I did nothing wrong. So, I stand by it.
I did nothing wrong, but secrecy must prevail. Man, that'll be the hidden Gen Con story. Let's hear about the a funny thing. Leo says, let's hear about the great Yankee insensitivity. Almost as though he knew what the answer to the story was.
Again, it's the Gen Con story. If you come to Gen Con,
this is going to be the super secret Gen Con story.
I'll regale you how I did nothing wrong.
If you want to hear that story, subscribe to our like button. Slap that Patreon and do all the stuff. So now we're at the play. And you know what? It's going pretty good. I'm never perfect. I never have a perfect night, and most of us don't. Did I apologize on stage that I missed a line? Yes. Hopefully it sounded in character. I was like, I'm sorry, I meant this. Kind of a deal. So, whoopsie-doop. So, we're doing the play. And here is where we have one last bit of some fun high drama. I guess it's not fun. How about shitty? So the guy playing Wadsworth, he is like 21. He's never seen the original. He didn't want to be, quote, infected by the performance of, end quote, Tim Curry, right? He didn't want to be, and that's a strong word, but he didn't want to be influenced, right? He didn't want to, like, watch this version of it and then have it take over his mind, right? I get it. Fair enough. But I invited him over when we were close to the debut and watched it with him. We had a good night, had some pizza and beers. We're on stage acting out full, and I see him, like, catch a line in his throat. Now, there were some lines that were harder than others. This one was like, it just felt weird in the moment. But hey, we all have a catch in our throat. We have a little brain flow. It was nothing. It was like, I know the line, so I know how it kind of like halted, right? Didn't think anything of it. So we go to intermission, and the cops are there. So this dude drives a pickup truck. He is a gun nut. He provided all the guns, by the way. By the way, we use real guns. Like, this guy is a gun nut like me and brought his own period correct firearms, by the way, for the 1950s, and we had live blanks being fired on stage by people who don't know shit about guns. At one point, I forgot.
So
yeah,
dangerous.
Scarlett and I are locked in like a room, and so there's just this 20-year-old woman firing blanks at us from about 5 feet away.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we all use those real firearms and real blanks, and oh, shit. So they weren't like, piece bonded or special effects. It was just guns. So they're loud as shit, by the way.
Gunshots are.
We had like a... they are. And they're being fired at you, too. Oddly enough. Oh, shit. So this guy... someone broke into his truck. They smashed his window and grabbed his Sig Sauer $2,400 pistol out of his truck. Stole it. So this is in the middle of the play. His truck is shattered. The window shattered, and his property has been stolen. And, people had, like, rifled in his vehicle before but hadn't found something. It's an area where this is not shocking. I did not leave shit in my car, frankly. And also, he drove a big jacked-up truck. His truck looked like he would have a gun in it, and it did. Put it that way. So he has to come back out, and he is, like, not fucking feeling it. There's even a part where, like, he says, hey, it's the police are here. And he's like, oh, the police, they're on time for once. Like, he said that live on stage as a bit of a pissy note toward the cops who were being shitty about patrolling this high crime area full of people with parked cars. And yes, Leo, it is a My Dick Is So Big truck. You're not. Well, to be fair, he actually is a cowboy. Like, that's like when he's not acting in Blaze. He rustles up cows and auctions them off for people. So, fair enough. Does it need to have a giant fucking brush guard? No. But fine. It does. maybe you got a deal on it. So, all right. So, he gets robbed. He has to go back out there and do this fucking thing. And he does. We have to have a long intermission. It had to be a conversation. But we get back out there, and we do the thing. And then... On my first night, I am, like, so high on theater power. Like, I'm, like, I feel like I'm touching a live line. I have a smile plastered on my face. It's a cool day. And I'm, like, not thinking. They're like, come here, come on. Mustard, come here. So it's the lobby. I'm like, what the fuck? Why is everybody lining up? It's like, we all line up here. And then people come in here and shake our hands and tell us how great we are. I'm like, what a great way to cap off a night. It's like a funeral procession, but happy. Everybody shakes your hand and says you did great. What a weird fucking thing, but that's great, right? What a nice way to end being on stage at the weddings. They usually line up and shake hands. I've never gone to a wedding.
The bride and groom, and they, say thank you.
Yeah, but you have to get married. You have to make a promise not to fuck anyone else. I was just a play. I got surprised with it. I did not know that was going to happen for me. And a young girl, she's like 7 years old, she asked me for my autograph. I gave an autograph. Y'all, the Grinch's ego grew 3 sizes that day. So it was a cool experience. I learned a lot. Had a great time. Met some cool people. They all wanted me to act again, which again made me feel great. They want me in this or that, the other thing. I can't. I can't, because it was 4 to 5 nights a week. I'm working 10-hour days and then 4-hour nights. It was kicking my happy ass. Plus, I have some friends who do a podcast, and they would like me to not, like, totally fuck them over for another month, actually.
Rehearsals were Tuesday, through Friday and sometimes on Saturday.
Yeah, it was Tuesday through Friday, and I was there once or twice on set days, which were like a Monday, right? And so, and then once on Saturday we had one, you know, and then the actual show was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I mean, it was stressful. The toughest part for like the lines was poor Wadsworth. He has a part where he has to rehearse all the actions of the play, and he is largely on his own on an island out there. For most of us, we do a lot in the first act. We have a lot of stuff going on. In the second part, I don't have a whole lot of shit. Like, I have a few lines here and there. You're kind of running downhill at that point, which I loved, right? Like, I come through, you know, you can be reading your book in your hand, you know, in the backstage, hit that first half, get all your shit more or less right. Second half, you're just kind of like, most of it's kind of there. It's not too difficult. Not a whole lot of dialogue between cast members, right? It really leans on him. And he never had it perfect, but he got, he was pulling it together a lot. Like, I was like a week before the play was live, he was not fucking there. I mean, like, just not. Like, you saw him, and we were close to, you know, going live when you were there. That last monologue, I don't think, like, did you see him try to do that?
No.
He was not good. You know, he couldn't get 5 seconds without saying line.
Yeah.
You know, but he pulled it together. Again, never perfect, but pulled that motherfucker together.
Hmm.
You know, it was pretty good.
So, it's a huge commitment, and kudos to you for doing it. I think it's amazing that you put yourself out there and you got up on stage in front of your own community and did a play. I think it's great. But we're a gaming podcast. We talk about gaming. So, I'm curious, your experience as an actor in this play, granted you have a script, but do you think that this experience has kind of helped in any way as you RP in the podcast?
No, but I think it would be helpful. Not for me, because I am already a ham, and I've understood the principle. Like, the principle, there is a principle here, and that is you have to not be self-conscious. You have to go out there and swing and not apologize, which I did technically fucking do, but roll with it. You have to keep rolling, keep talking, keep going, do what makes sense. You know, like multiple times in that play, we would fuck up a line that would fuck up like an entire scene. And you just have to, and it was really hard. It was one night it happened, and I realized that we have to figure out what happens in this scene and make that happen. And 3 out of 4 nights, there's like this one scene that was kind of janky. There was 3 or 4 things that needed to happen in a certain order, and we were never 100%, but the first night was a little weak. And I learned it wasn't all about my lines. It's not about lines. Instead of thinking about what has to be said, or in what order, or the specific statement, or whatever, right? The line in the script. Think about what we need to accomplish in this scene. Think about D&D in terms of scenes. D&D is not battle, it's scenes. Some scenes are combat, some scenes are not. And that's how they should be thought of. And within that scene, what do you want to accomplish? It can be a hard, concrete thing. Like, in this scene, the bad guy will kidnap the princess and get away and send an army to threaten, you know, or a group of goblins to threaten the party. It could be open and fluid. In this scene, the bad guy is considering this and can possibly be talked out, but he's considering it because he wants X. Maybe he's talked out of it. You know, you may not know how it ends, but you know it's being presented. So what's in this scene? What am I trying to accomplish in terms of moving the plot forward, or what am I presenting my players? And then how do I get there with whatever they throw to me? I'm not going to have all the answers. It's not going to go, well, they do this, and then I do this. And see, they do this, and so I'll have this ready. You can't rely on that. And the more you plan, like, what is it? Men make plans and God laughs. That's there you go. So think about what you want to accomplish generally. In the play, we have to accomplish saying, where's the lead pipe? And the actress who had to say that, we didn't always know where it had to be said, but when she says, where's the lead pipe? That's when Mr. Body comes out with the pipe in the back of his head, like attacking or being draped upon poor Miss Peacock, who thinks he's attacking her when he's really just dead and he fell on her. That's where we have to get to. And I saw her in that first night, we got kind of lost. And every night where the other dialogue kind of died down, she would come in with that line. Like she has to hit that line. She has to, that's the button that gets us out of the scene, right? So even though she may not know, because we fucked the scene up, exactly where that mark is supposed to happen, When the scene starts slowing down, she hits the button. Because that's what's got to happen. In that scene, we ask what the lead pipe is, and that leads to Mr. Body coming out and him, quote-unquote, attacking Miss Peacock. Everything else is kind of like...
Yeah.
It can be sacrificed. Or can be rearranged.
You need that one line that will trigger the next scene, so you have to find a way to do that. I get it. All right, well, how about... Because you kind of talked about, well, they didn't memorize their lines to your satisfaction because it kind of threw you off and all that. So that to me, that sounds almost like a director's thought. So do you think you can apply anything as a GM?
Most of the stuff I learned was pretty basic actory stuff and was specific to the theater, right? But speaking clearly, the biggest thing I would say that you learn is you have to just lose any self-consciousness. We had a person who played Mrs. White. She had been bumped up from barely in the play to central character, and she was great as Mrs. White, but there was a shyness in her that was not great. Like, she kept wanting to hide behind the cast. It's like, you're in the cast. You get to be up there with us, dude, and you're not tall. Like, I tended to float to the back because I could be seen over the rest of the cast in crowded scenes. You got to get over that shit. You got to like that. The biggest thing I can say, and it's, I'm trying to find some crossover here. It is, you can't be self-conscious. Be the character you want to be. Lean into it. You can't worry about how it makes you feel or see. You have to be that dwarf. Be the gnome. Be the fucking fairy. Lean into it. Swing for the fences. Ham it up. It, like, you can't overham, as I have found. That's one thing I definitely learned. What feels outrageous and silly and goofy, and it is Clue, it's an outrageous, silly, and goofy play. It's hard to explain. It doesn't come across like you think. You have to be over the top. You have to be ridiculous. You have to be extra. So whatever you're doing, be extra, okay? If you're going to be the bad guy, be Jeremy Irons in D&D. Chew that scenery, okay? He was fine. The rest of the movie was garbage, but he was fine. Do some of that shit. You know, fucking swing for it. He was right. Okay. Jeremy Irons understands how to be D&D, just not how to pick a script.
So one other thing, because like you said, I think when I saw the rehearsal, you guys had just started doing the blocking and learning the movements that everybody had to do and where they needed to be when.
Yeah, we kind of had blocking.
It was at the beginning. I think it was you had just started learning that. So it was like, all right, I understand everybody's just not learning that. And I kind of realized that movement is really hard to kind of pick up on. Like, you have to be in it. You have to see it. But even you guys, you were just being told this is what you got to do. And I noticed with you as a player, tracking movement gets hard. So do you think it kind of helps you? Because to me, it seemed like the same thing. Knowing where everybody else is supposed to be and knowing where you are supposed to be, either in the play or as a GM or as a player.
When you say where you're supposed to be, like for me, I use grids. And I may get away from that, but so you're on grid space B24.
But in VTM, we don't use grids.
Yeah, I lose track where the fuck I am all the time.
You do, that's what I'm saying. Like... It's hard.
I knew where
no,
this was going.
No. Tracking movement is better. Difficult. I have a hard time in books. Like, I wait a minute. How'd they get here? And I have to go back and figure out where did I mess up? So, I mean, I was just wondering, does it help? Like, did it give you another?
No. That does not help
at all to kind of overcome or to figure. Okay. All right. I was just curious.
No, because I can see them when they walk and do things. It triggers things in me, and I'm aware of the thing. And we also rehearse the shit out of it, as opposed to our podcast, where I'm sitting alone in the comfort of my home after having worked 10 hours. Although I did work before I went to the play every day, but like I'm sitting at home and I can't see any of this shit. And there'll be a single line, like, all right, well, I leave the room, where I go into room B, and then people. Well, if you miss that line, you're fucked. If I close my eyes during the play and I open them, that guy's on the other side of the stage, which would indicate we're not in the same room anymore.
Okay.
So that's different. I mean, it's just, that's just a different medium.
All right. Now, you said they do a play every month or every other?
I think they were trying to do about seven-ish plays, like 6 to 8 plays this year. So it would be about every other month, or like, 2 out of 3 type of deal.
I know it's a huge commitment and it does cut in to the podcast, but do you think come next January, when we have the whole month off for this podcast, that you would do another play?
Maybe. They want me to do Elf, which is around like Christmas time. Mm-hmm. And so I will see where I am okay. Around there. We will see. We'll see how old Terrence is doing. how either not alive or very not alive he is.
He's fine. Everything's fine.
Well, it was cool. I did get to so backstage, everyone who's been in these plays has signed a part of the backstage walls, right? Like there's just signatures everywhere in what play they're in. I'm like, I am going to do that. But I did not do it until I had wrapped the play. No cheating. I'm like, all four fucking shows. You know? Oh, and I want to bring back one thing. I mentioned earlier about having the short hair. There was a guy who was the motorist in the play. He was nice to me. His wife was a vet, the woman shooting this. He's a nice dude. But there was clearly some salt that kind of got back to me that he didn't get Colonel Mustard. Or like he had a bit part. He was the motorist. And he really played it up in like I thought was going a little like the motorist is just like a fucking guy who gets murdered. He's the most generic, like, you know, like in the script it's like he's a normal man. That's it. This dude like put on a leather jacket and like a biker hat and a fake Italian accent. He was like, "Hey, how you doing?" And he would say the word phone as phone. To this day, I don't know why. Like, hey, can I use your phone? I don't know. Like, that's not how Italian people talk. They don't put a massive pause in the word phone, a monosyllabic word. Uh-huh. Whatever. But he was, like, salty that, like, about me. I heard he was a little bit, like, I heard regarding me because I came out of nowhere and I'm like, oh, gee, golly, shucks, y'all. Top villain, get wrecked, you know?
Kind of wrong to blame you. Well, you didn't cast you as Mustard. They did.
Right? So there was something like, why he could, well, this dude is like fucking 5 foot five and unshaven and has like hair down to his ass. Dude, you are not going to be the general. You're not going to be shit in 1950. It's like it's a 1950s.
Show. He's not gonna be a colonel. He was too young. He was too short. He's like a buck 20 soaking wet. You're just not a colonel. Sorry.
And are you going to be the professor?
No.
Also, no. How about Mr. Green? No. You're going to have to, like, cut your hair. And the guy who played Mr. Green, our board member, had long hair, which he cut for the show. I mean, he cut the hair. He looked very, like, he lost some time on that hair, you know? So, there you go. You know, clean shaven. You know, again, no judgment morally. By all means, I loved having long hair. But, like, there's a certain look for the time period. And yeah, the fact that, and like the guy who was telling me this was like, yeah, you know, you're 6'1" and you look as, yeah, I'm 6'1", I'm 38, I kind of have broad-ish shoulders. I'm not fucking like Colonel McBadass, but I can fill out a suit, right? So there you go. I got the role of the official, you know, I've been playing a dunderhead for like, you know, a fucking decade now in various characters. So like I've been prepping for this shit like a long time.
That's neat. Like, yeah, I mean, I would assume because people ruin everything that there would be some kind of interpersonal drama. And I know you had several people drop. Anything else drama wise that happened?
No, I was surprised because again, you know, I'd heard some story. You know, the fact they had to say no more alcohol, and I had heard some stories by here and there. Like I'd pick up on the I'm a gossip hound. I can like feel it happening, and I'd be at the. I would go to like the cast building thing just to hear like oh, what's the gossip? No. And then you get the scuttlebutt, and so you think there might be some drama there. There wasn't. Our whole cast, from top to bottom, was like we all got along. We all had a great time. We all loved each other. It's great and wonderful, and it's just a splendiferous time of goodness. And it was great. The only thing that's odd is like after the show ended, we're all in this group chat. And I was not going to say anything in the group chat because for me, it's time to like let it go. Because what's cool is we all came together to make this thing, but we don't have a lot in common, right? Like we actually like prayed before we went out there. And I'm thinking like my stereotypical theater shit. These are not going to be a bunch of adherent people. Wrong. This is Mississippi, and like the guy who led the prayer was the guy who was like. Fucking Frankenfurter in Rocky Horror. He has no problem playing it up, wearing heels, going out there and sashaying. We're all cool with the LGBTs and Qs, but we also love Jesus, apparently. I don't know how to square that. But it was like surprise prayer. And I'm there looking at into the eyes of like the other apparently non-religious person. You always find them, right? And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? We're praying now? All right, we're praying. So we're praying. That was kind of different, but I digress. My point is that I've heard before, it kind of broke my heart, that Penn and Teller aren't friends, or that Jamie and Adam are not friends on MythBusters. And doesn't that hurt you? I'm like, wow, surely they're friends, and they get into hijinks all the time. And I get it now. I get that now from this play, because I had a great time with all those people. But I'm in a different point in my life. Like one of them texted me, like the guy who played Wadsworth, great guy, he's 21. I was like, hey, me and the person who played Scarlet and the person who played Miss White, we're going out to this bar. It's 8 p.m. on a Thursday, Jupiter. Jupiter, I'm 38 years old. I'm not going out to a fucking bar on a Thursday night at 8 p.m. And you've texted me at like 7 p.m.? Fuck no. I'm curled up watching people bake things.
So
with my wife and our cats.
I'd go out for a drink if invited.
With yeah, 1 hour I'm notice?
I'm not doing anything.
All right, well, we're at different stages in life. I'm just at a different point in my life. I'm not doing that shit. Yeah. I'm married. So, like, I can't just like get the fuck out of town. This is our first night. But this is like, again, I've been like, you know who else missed old Cotton? Was Cotton's wife. Because I'm rehearsing every night. And so this is like my first or second night back from not having to be at a play or rehearsing for a play. And so it was like time to go watch British people bake things. And it was not time to go out to the fucking bar at 8 p.m. And, you know, and Dave's like texting me at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm texting him back at 6 a.m. Neither of we're not even living the same daytime, nighttime, right? I assure you this man was not awake at 6 a.m. And I'm old. I'm looking at 4 a.m. for like no reason, you know? Yay. So yeah, that was that. So again, like them all. It's just, I don't think we're going to hang out. We're not gonna, like, all hang out together and be like the fucking Ninja Turtles and be friends all the time. That's not there. If I see them again in another play, I'm gonna come right up to them and hug them and be great. But I don't think we're gonna be hanging out, like, because I don't think they want to play board games in D&D. And I use fuck way too much. Like, I know that's not great. I love the word fuck. We just, oh, fuck this, fuck that, and then we go back there and we're praying. And then I start reevaluating. I'm the only one who drops this many F-bombs. Oh God, am I the asshole of the show? But yeah, but it's. But the some people did text some stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, yeah. There was definitely a play drop, like a con drop, right? There was a play drop, and everyone was feeling it, and I was feeling it. I felt you kind of had to, like, let that happen. You know, I've texted the guy a few more times, but it's going to be kind of a pulling back. Not to be shitty, it's just, again, he's doing his shit, I'm doing my thing. We're not living the same lives, you know? And
so
that's fine.
It's... because I'm sitting here, and you're saying, no, we came together, we made this thing, and now... we part. Okay. And I'm thinking about the podcast, and in Shadowrun, we did the thing, and when it was over, you pulled back.
Yeah. I just to address what Little said, Penn and Teller are not like, they're not enemies. They just don't like hang out. Like, they don't like the same thing. So he's saying that, like, Penn's daughter considers Teller like an uncle. She might like both of them, you know? But that's a different thing.
They're
than
not
like,
they're,
I don't
they're
think
not,
they're friends and
yeah,
they hang
don't
out.
Live, they're not neighbors on the same street. They're not, you know, they're not always together. They have differences. And so, yeah, I get it. But yes, the Mythbuster ones, they don't like each other. No, I do know that. Yeah.
Right.
But so is that what you did with that? You took that step back after Shadowrun because did you feel like, all right, I just need, you told us you just needed the break, but was it? Was it the same reason as you know, with the play that you did that? Or, because I'm just surprised, like, you're back and you've been doing it and you talk to us on the regular and all that. So I'm like, why don't you want to hang out with the play people now?
That was, I thought there's a lot of questions in there.
Unpack it.
the play
Look,
people.
I took my
they're either younger than
time,
me.
So go.
Or the race against time. They're younger than me. Or in some cases older than me, but mostly younger than me. And, you know, like, we're just not going to be doing this. Now, one of them I am playing D&D with this upcoming Sunday. The lady who plays Scarlet, she's a big old nerd like me. And we're going to play some D&D, and she wanted to play. And one of the backstage guys is going to be in that thing. So there is that. That might go somewhere, right? Like, we may like board games and shit. But, like, I don't want to go out to the bar at 8 p.m. At night. That's what he wants to do. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, but, I mean, you could have said, like, you could have texted back, dude, you know, catch me on a Saturday night, or, you know, you got to catch me on Friday night or Saturday night. I get up too early to do it, you know, during the week. I mean, because you just kind of shut him down.
Yeah, I don't want to go to the bar at all. A fuck a bar. I don't give a fuck about going to a bar unless it's like with Robin, you know, or in lieu of something. Like if we're going to go do something before or after, like as a stop off, it might be fine, you know, or trivia. But I haven't seen any indication of that with y'all, with us, frankly. Like I consider us an us. I got out of the Shadowrun thing because I was just burnt out. I had been doing the same. There had been a claim on my time for so fucking long. I wanted to like just get out. I'm just like I'm just tired of having to be somewhere. I'm tired of having to be here. I've been doing this. I have been on, and also that those last couple episodes were like deeply taxing to my soul. Like very the last like few months of that Shadowrun game. I was me wondering what the fuck is wrong with Jupiter. Why does she have... Because it's drama. It's supposed to be hard. Why can't we all be friends and have hijinks? And you're like fucking soul-rending. And like, my friends. You know, I projected all that shit. And so it was really hard for me. It was difficult emotionally. And I wanted just to break. I was like, I don't want to start something else now and be on. I need a minute to just not have to be on. So that was it. It's like, well, why'd you, you know, it's like anything. Like, I like to go hiking, but I don't want to go hike for 50 fucking miles. You know? I want to stop and go do some other shit for a little while. I love hanging out with everybody on this podcast. Everybody, like, this is actually my friends.
Yeah. We're lucky. We're the lucky ones. Poor play people you won't hang out with. Well, you are hanging out with some of them. Yes, I know.
Yeah. I have a few of them, and when I see them, it'll be great, and I may hang out with them. There may be people I invite to a dinner party here and there. But again, when like at least for me, I am married and I spend the great majority of my free time with this person. Like it's almost like I like this person, right? Like it's what a crazy coincidence. I really enjoy spending time with the person I married myself to. So yeah, we do that shit. Like I go to work, you know, I work 10 hours, I get home, I work long ass week, I want to hang out with my wife, and then like on the weekend, so there's not I play D&D with an already established group of people. I'm not really hiring a lot of friends right now. So we're kind of filled at the old dance cards full.
All right,
you know,
that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Any final thoughts about the experience overall?
It was great, and I would suggest people look into it. Go to your thing, and you know, go to your local theater, community theater. Sign up, be a tree. You know, don't let your ego be a part of it. They liked me because I had no ego. Like I'm at a point where I am so aware of my own bullshit that I don't act in a shitty way. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not gonna be a diva or be shitty or dumb on the thing because I get it. I'm aware of who I am, and so I know my hammy center of attention tendencies, and I can make fun of them. So I was cool, and they liked that. And so that was a cool. So if you want to get over yourself, go to community theater. Throw yourself out there. Go be a tree. And if you end up being Colonel Mustard, fucking crush it. Go out there. Do the thing. So I would push people to go beyond their comfort line and give it a shot.
And be ready to work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Hard work.
Nope. Well, I mean, it sounds fun. It sounds, you know, like you had a good time. It seemed like a wonderful experience. I was happy I got to see part of it. And your lovely wife sent me some videos as well. So I got to see a little bit of the shows.
Oh.
Well, I think it's great. And I do agree. It's good to put yourself out there. And I think if you're a gamer doing RP and you really love RP, to me, playing an RPG is kind of like community theater. It's a bunch of people putting on a play for no audience at the table. You know, there's nobody there.
No, the player is the audience, the players, right? Everyone's your audience at all times.
It is like doing that. And if you have a hard time role playing, or like you don't put yourself out there, yes, this will kind of get you over that real fast.
Yeah, or you just won't like it. Like some people, like Robin has no desire to do this. Like some people do not want to be the center of attention. Mm-hmm. They do not want to be a ham. Like I've had to learn that. I've had situations where like I was having some people over. And this is back when I was single. This is years ago. and we're all outside, and it's, you know, barely lit, and we are our drinks, and we're in a circle telling stories, you know, if we had one. And this guy who worked in IT, where I worked, I had a story. I knew, and I was about to tell his story. And I was like, oh, I do that. Like, hey, man, go ahead. He was a kind of a nebbish guy, and I didn't want to steal his story. I wanted him to have the spotlight because I love the spotlight. I love having the funny line. I love telling the good story. It's this podcast. And so I'm setting him up, and he would not do it. He wanted me to tell it. And I realized then that we are different people. He wanted the story told because he would get some reflected light, but he didn't want to be in the spotlight. I do. And I don't want to say everyone needs to do this. If you don't want the light, don't do it. That's fine. Like, Robin has no desire to be up there and to be the center of attention and to be everyone look at me. I do, so I did the thing. If you have that in you, community theater is pretty cool. Also, maybe be a GM.
There you go. All right. Well, I think we'll wrap it here. Why don't you say goodbye, everyone?
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. We'll see you all next time.